I would invite you to take your Bibles for a few moments and come with me to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, that you might understand the relevance and be reminded of this passage regarding the Lord's table. It is said by the Apostle Paul in the New Testament that Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Keep that thought in mind as we again invite you to behold the Lamb which taketh away the sin of the world. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 1, the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth month, or the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up to the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And then please look at verse number 22. With the blood of that Passover lamb, verse 22 reads, You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. There are just several things, points of interest that I want to share with you in the time we have remaining out of Exodus chapter 12 and a few related passages. Please notice it in verse number 3, this lamb is separated. Please notice also in verse number 3 says, Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, excluding none, excepting no one. What we are reading here is just as critically important in its observance to the New Testament church as it was to the people of Israel. He spoke unto all the congregation of Israel. In the 10th day, please note the timing, the 10th day, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Every house, a lamb, had to be taken, separated from the flock. And then it is understood by the context that for 4 long days before that lamb would be killed, that lamb would be confined in the house where the blood would be made effective. Now, please understand this from an emotional viewpoint. Here is the institution of the Passover in which a innocent lamb, a tiny little beast, is selected, first of all, and then he is separated and taken into the home of a particular family. And there that lamb is fed. It is observed. It is scrutinized. Because it is not only a lamb that is separated, it has to be, according to verse 5, spotless. There can be no discernible deformity or blemish on that lamb. And so for 4 days, it would be scrutinized by the householder. But I want to say to you that not only is that the case, but you cannot possibly think that it would be that while the lamb is there, separated from the flock, that there would not be some peculiar affinity for that animal on the part of the homeowner. And inasmuch as the head of the house would be the one before the age of the priest to slay the lamb, for 4 days he is sitting there contemplating what he must do on the 14th day. The first morning he gets up and he looks at that lamb. Behold the lamb. And he knows that the hours roll away. Day 2, he does the same thing. Day 3, he does the same thing. And on the 4th day, he rises. Because in the evening, per the Jewish calendar, that lamb would be slain. And there, the one man in the house charged with the responsibility of its death contemplates now what he must do. And I want to say to you that not only was that lamb separated, but we are reminded in the book of Hebrews concerning the Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 7, verse 26, that he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And I will suggest to you too that the 4 days in which the lamb was scrutinized in Israel approximates the exact time that Jesus was likewise scrutinized before crucifixion. And the only difference that I see is this, that while that was all taking place, it was not that the Roman soldiers or the Jewish leadership would be at all interested in or kindly affected to the Lord Jesus. It's not that at all. But you know who would be most profoundly touched in contemplation of the sacrifice was the Father. Isaiah says in chapter 53, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. And so here you have a lamb separated, taken from the flock, like unto in type the Lord Jesus Christ there in Hebrews 7. Spotless, without blemish. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 26 also says that he is holy. Christ is holy, without sin. Born of Mary. No innate sin. Matthew chapter 4 demonstrates that beyond a doubt he was beyond sin. He was not able to sin. He became sin for us who he said, who knew no sin. The writer of Hebrews affirms that he was holy. And in chapter 9, he offered his body on the cross without spot. You know, that's the only way it could work. So when you sit here and you see this little ceremony taking place, I invite you again to behold the Lamb who was separated and spotless. And then in verse number 6 of Hebrews chapter 12, he was sacrificed because there would come a day, the 14th day in the evening, where the head of the home would kill it. He would kill the lamb. The writer of Hebrews says in chapter 9 verse 26, he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, referring to Jesus. He appeared once in the end time. Now that's a tremendous truth because you see, according to the system that is being placed here in Exodus chapter 12 and on through the age of the priest, these lambs would be sacrificed regularly. Multiple lambs sacrificed continuously. Great truth of truths is the book of Hebrews, where he appeared once in the end of the age, once at the end of days, once for all forever. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. There, my friends, is Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. Behold the Lamb. The Apostle Peter says that this Lamb, as a lamb, he was offered without blemish, without spot, sacrificed, holy, separated. Then there's something, a truth that springs out of this. Behold the Lamb. Look in John's Gospel just for a moment. Chapter 20. John's Gospel. Chapter 20. I was reading again. I delight in these little anecdotal stories that are so plentiful. Seems like more so from the old school brothers than the new school brothers who comparatively are vaporish. But in John chapter 20, at verse 19, I was reminded of this story where this young mother and her young son, I can picture the child over here in the pew doing this. I don't know why, I can just see him doing this. But they had a dilemma. And the dilemma was this, the dilemma. I'm with Shane and with Dan today, so we're just... Here was the dilemma. He got his hand down into a milk jug and he could not get it out. The kid sat down on the floor, put that jug between his feet, and he tried with all his might to pull that hand out of there. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Face is all red, frustrated and angry. Finally, his mother comes to the rescue. Just a solution. She tries and she tries and she tries to get the hand free of that jug and couldn't do it. And finally she looks down inside there and she sees the problem. He had his hand closed. And the reason he had his hand closed is because he reached down in there to get a coin. And he would not let. She says to her son, just open your hand, open your hand. He says, I'm not going to open my hand. I've got that coin in my hand. The solution was that he had to give it up. He had to open his hand. And when he released it, out comes his hand. I said all that to say this, that when I look in John chapter 20 at verse 19, Jesus gave with open hands. He gave with open... You talk about a dilemma. Man, the sinner, was caught in a dilemma from which he could not extract himself. He had so infuriated and insulted God that the only way that God's justice could be satisfied would be through death. And even if man, the sinner, was to die, it would not be sufficient. And then behold the Lamb that comes to take away the sin of the world, and He gave with open hands. John chapter 20 verse 19, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. Notice the time again at evening, the Jewish calendar. And when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when He had said, so said He, showed unto them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. In verse number 25, the other disciples therefore said unto Him, we have seen the Lord. But He said unto them, except I shall see in His hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into His side, I will not believe. After 8 days again, His disciples were within. Thomas came with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said unto them, peace be unto you. And He saith to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and do what? Behold my hands. Our Passover Lamb gave with open hands to release us from the dilemma of the ages. Not only did He give with open hands, but He gives with open arms. And I want you again to picture the cross. Picture the cross. Open hands, open arms, open arms. You remember the story when, I guess, Jesus was being haggled by little children in Matthew 18. The first six verses of that chapter gives these bits of information. First of all, when he sees the children, he sets them, he took one of them and set him in the midst of them all. And then he counsels the adults present. He says, unless you become as little children, except you be converted and become as little children, you will not inherit the kingdom. And when I think of that picture, I think also of the song, Jesus loves the little children. Jesus loves me. This I know. We understand that what the Apostle Paul says, that through Him we have access, in Ephesians 2:18, we have access to the Father. Open-armed access to the Father. And I remind you that if you picture the cross and you understand He gave with open hands and open arms, it is best illustrated in His conversation with those, each of those thieves that hung beside Him. And to the one thief He says, Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. With open arms He received that thief. Just the same way, with open arms He received you. He gave with open arms and He gives with an open heart. God so loved the world that He gave. I want you to look in John's Gospel again at chapter 10 for a moment, because it goes to the mindset of the Savior at the cross. In John chapter 10, in the 17th verse, He said, I lay down my life that I might take it again. Then in verse 18, one of the most profound statements in all Scripture, He says, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. To some would object at this point, say, wait a minute, Pastor, it was the soldiers are the ones who took His life from Him. They were the ones who fixed Him to that cross. They were the ones that put the spear in His side. It was Pilate who said that take Him away and crucify Him. Yes, yes, He did so at the behest of the Jewish nation. But they argue that it was not Christ who did anything. It was they who crucified Him. The song, does it not say, who killed Jesus? I would like to know. And the conclusion of that song is what, rightly or wrongly? Who killed Jesus? Hey, don't ever forget this truth. No man taketh it from me. No man. Here you understand that He gave with an open heart. He did this willingly. He did this voluntarily. And a stunning thing, a truth to be said, He did it cheerfully. Cheerfully. You say, well, where was the cheer on the cross with all the agony that He endured? Where was the cheer in His utterance to the Father? My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Where was the cheer in all that? Well, we do well to understand the right perspective of cheerfulness. Unlike the man depicted in this little story, he had a very wealthy man had a beautiful young daughter who he gave to a young man in marriage. And they had gone to make their first home, and he was missing her. I guess fathers will miss a daughter when they go away. And he thought that he would send along with his other daughter a gift for the newly married couple. And so he sits down at his desk and he takes out his little checkbook and he writes out a check for $5,000. Nice dad, huh? $5,000. And he sends it along with his other daughter. And she comes home, and Dad asks this question. Well, what did your new brother-in-law say when you gave him that check? And the daughter replied, well, he didn't say anything. But when he looked at it, he began to cry. The father then says, how long did he cry? And she says, well, I suppose about a minute or so. Only a minute, he said. Only a minute. Disappointed, he said, I cried for over an hour when I wrote that check. I want to share with you that when the Passover lamb gave, he gave cheerfully. He gave voluntarily. He gave willingly. Cheerfully? Yes. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says that he, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. For the joy that was set before him in anticipation of what Hebrews writes this, when he purged our sins in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, he sat down. Our great high priest did something that no other high priest ever before him did or was able to do. That after he entered into the Holy of Holies, he went in and sat down. And what did that signify? He finished the work that he was sent to do. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty, which is the place of honor. In Luke chapter 24, verse 26, his glory is in view. Peter says again, at God's right hand, his angels and authorities and powers are all now subject to him. And then in John's Gospel, chapter 17, you get the root of the joy in the first five verses. Is not what he had in mind when it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross? Why would he? In John 17, verse 1, in his great high priestly prayer, he said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. That would bring him joy. The only way that he could do that was to die on the cross. And not only die there, but finish the work. Why? So that you and I, as many as the Father gave him, he could give eternal life to. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now get to the joy of it. Verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Do you realize, my dear friends, I'm sure you do, that when the eternal Son took on human flesh, his glory was covered over. Not removed from him in any sense, just veiled over. The independent use of all his divine attributes surrendered to the will of the Father. And for 30 long years and 3 more years of public ministry, he had to endure the scoffing and the ridicule and the unbelief and the accusations of the creatures that he himself made. And now he says the hour has come. And what is he anticipating? As he goes to the cross with joy, not the discernible joy that you and I would see when people are typically happy, but the joy in knowing that his work would be finished and that immediately upon arising out of the grave, that glory that he had from eternity past would be returned to him, never to be removed again. There was this truth that we hearken to here at the Lord's table. There was paradise lost. Man sinned. When Jesus came, he found us Therefore, paradise is found. We sit here today, we look at the cross, and we hearken back to the Lamb that came to take away the sin of my world, your world, the whole world. That ought to breed in us an unchanging attitude of gratitude every day the rest of our lives. Our dear Father, would you please take your word and burn it into our hearts and help us this day to fondly be reminded of what our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus, has done for us. We love you, Lord, and thank you for all that you have done, and give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.